Holy Spirit, I just pray that today you'll minister through me, Lord, and that every word that I share will be straight from heaven. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you also prepare hearts to receive the word that you have for them. I pray today in Jesus' name. Today I want to share on four keys to living an overcoming Christian walk. Every Christian has the potential to make a great difference in this world for eternity. But the moment we come to Christ, we enter into an increasingly stronger spiritual warfare in which the enemy will try and distract us and discourage us from fulfilling our full potential in God. I want to just start by looking at a couple of scriptures in relation to the spiritual contest that all Christians are engaged in. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 to 9. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." The enemy, though he cannot physically harm us, he whispers into the ears of people and causes those people to destroy themselves. So many people that have got so much potential in life have had some tragedies maybe in life, and the enemy just whispers in their minds they have no future, and so many people have destroyed their lives through drugs and alcohols because the enemy is simply out, the devil is out, to destroy lives. Jesus made it very clear when he said in John 10:10, "For the thief does not come," that's the devil, "except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The Apostle Paul wrote also about the spiritual contest when he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly place." We are certainly in a spiritual contest. And today I want to share four keys that'll help you to finish the race strongly. Like the Apostle Paul, we want to get to the end of our life still strong in our faith, still serving the Lord, still with Jesus Christ, our first love. And like the Apostle Paul, be able to say, as he did in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 to 9, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." The first key I want to share today in terms of maintaining our strong walk with the Lord is that we need to just simply continually have a firm, unshakable trust in the Lord and a lifestyle of prayer. That no matter what we may be going through in life, we just simply trust God and know that he is the God who is able to make a way even where there seems no way. So often in life, when we are confronted with problems and challenges in life, it's so easy to take our eyes off the bigness of God and focus on the challenges in our life and become discouraged in life. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 6:9, "And do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart." The enemy is just continually trying to discourage believers from fulfilling the awesome plans and purposes that God has for every person's life. We must just simply keep our minds focused on things above and on the bigness of God. It is the key to maintaining our peace during the storms of life. In the book of Isaiah, we read in Isaiah 26, verses 3 to 4, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength." We just need to be committed to just simply trust in the Lord, and we have a faithful God who will help us to go through any circumstance in life if we just simply trust him and allow him to direct our steps in life. I love in Jeremiah, verses 7 to 8 of Jeremiah chapter 17. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and his hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Many years ago, at the beginning of the last economic recession, the Lord told me to let go of my little part-time job to focus full-time on the missions call that he had for my life. And in the natural, it would have been silly to give away a source of income at the beginning of a recession. But over the years, I've seen that God has met every need as I simply stepped out and trusted him. In God, there is no recession. It says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the other things shall be added unto you. So how important it is that we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord, knowing that with God, nothing will be impossible. Part of trusting as God is that we live a lifestyle of prayer. It is so important that we learn to commit our cares to Jesus and that we don't entertain the worries of the world, but we seek God for the answers and the solutions and the breakthrough in the things that we go through in life. Jesus himself made it very clear that we don't need to be anxious about the everyday things in life. If God is able to create the universe and make sure planets don't collide, he is well able to deal with the small issues we have in our life here on earth. Jesus himself said, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, the unbelievers that don't know in the awesome bigness and faithfulness of God. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See, your heavenly Father knows what you need in life. Sometimes we think we need things, but God knows what we really need in life. So we need to learn to give our anxieties and cares to Jesus. Another key that I found just in relation here was the next verse in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If I was to start focusing on the things and the challenges of next week and next year, I would not be able to cope with the burden of the challenges that would await me. But God gives us enough grace for today. And I've learned over the years, if I just simply live today and let Jesus be Lord of today, every circumstance that arises in life, I am able to deal with and I'm able to overcome the challenges that I experience from time to time in life. You know, as Christians, we'll never be exempt from trials and challenges. In fact, it says in the Bible, through many tribulations, you enter the kingdom of God. But as Christians, we can keep our focus on Jesus, on the bigness of God, and even have peace, that perfect peace, in the midst of the trials of life. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 to 7, he said, be anxious for nothing. Think of it. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We have to overcome the habit of worrying and learn to live a lifestyle of prayer where we simply commit our needs and challenges to the Lord in prayer. You know, the Bible makes it clear that we have a God who is both willing and able to help us at all times. The Apostle John, who leaned on the breast of Jesus, said, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So whenever we ask for a need in prayer, if it's in line with God's will and purpose for our life, we can be assured that God not only hears our prayers, but he answers our prayers. See, living a lifestyle of prayer is involving the Lord in every area of your life. See, if we learn to commune with God and ask God for wisdom in making choices in life, we'll avoid the pitfalls that the devil would love to put in our life to destroy the good things that God has for our life. That is why the Apostle Paul wrote, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 to 17, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. See, if we learn to rejoice in the trials of life, we'll never let the devil steal our joy. And if we continually pray without ceasing, we will see the miracles and the testimonies at the end of every test and trial that we go through in life. So having a lifestyle of prayer is one way of demonstrating our trust in God. I just want to finish in terms of point one. Just in Mark 11, verse 22 to 24, Jesus said, "Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," whatever that mountain may be, a mountain of depression, a mountain of fear, a mountain of uncertainty, "whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." God answers all our prayers that are prayed in faith in line with his will for our life. "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So the first key to maintaining a strong, overcoming faith is to have an unshakable trust in the Lord and a lifestyle of prayer. The second key I want to share about is the importance of building our lives on the promises and wisdom contained in the Word of God. As believers, we can tap into every single promise in the Bible, but those promises are generally conditional upon us doing things. For example, tithing is something that I've done for many years. It's a wonderful promise when we tithe. And I just want to just quickly share that one. It says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 to 11, it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. Try me now in this." See, so often it's our money that really indicates how much we trust God in our giving. For those who have a firm love and trust in God, they love to give generously because God's kingdom is really a kingdom of giving. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." So he says, "And try me now in this." See, it really just proves how much you trust God when you're prepared to give as he would purpose in your heart. The Lord of hosts, "If I'll not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that you'll not be room enough to receive it." For years I've lived with the tithing principle and I've seen God's incredible vision. I love the second verse coming after it. It says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your vine, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." These are just one of many promises that God will pour out such blessing in our lives and rebuke the devourer for our sakes if we just simply position ourselves for the promise. Jesus himself said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Put the Lord Jesus first in your life. Pursue his awesome plan and destiny for your life, and all the other things that you need in life shall be added unto you. God's an awesome God. See, God loves to bless his people to be a blessing to others. The Bible is full of promises that we can appropriate by faith in Christ. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us." See, we live in a world that is quite negative. And even now, when you look around the world, we see the wars, we see the strife, we see the uncertainties, even economically, we don't know what's going to happen. But we can build our life on God's kingdom promises, that we can seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things that we need shall be added to us. So we need to renew our mind on a continual basis with the promises in God's word. Whenever I go on a missions trip, as I'm flying around from place to place, I love just meditating on the promises of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we've got to make sure that we're not conformed to the things of this world, the negative of this world, but we are transformed by God's kingdom promises and that we live in line with God's kingdom thinking. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world." Don't allow the negativity of things in this world and those around you to drag you down to a level far beneath the potential that God has for your life. Jesus came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We see in the Old Testament that a whole generation of the children of Israel failed to appropriate what God was giving them because of fear and unbelief. So 40 years later, when Joshua was about to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, the Lord said to Joshua, "This book of the law, which was full of promises for the children of Israel, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to according to all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success." We see here the importance of speaking out the promises of God, that the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. The moment we begin speaking out the problems of our life, we begin to lose our faith in the ability of God to turn our circumstances around. But if we continually speak out what the word of God, the truth says, if you abide in his word, the truth will set you free. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to according to all that is written." If we daily meditate on the promises of God, the challenges all around us will not cause us to sink and get discouraged and give up on the awesome plans and purposes that God has for our life. See, when we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit makes the Word of God alive to us. It gives us understanding. And so many times in my life when I've needed a word of encouragement or I've needed direction in life, I've simply opened up the Bible and a rhema word has stood out and given me wisdom and direction for that moment. We need to always have an expectation that when we read the Bible, God will speak to us. Hallelujah. In Psalm 119, 105, we read, "Your word is a lamp to my feet. It helps us not to stumble in life and a light to my path." But the important thing is that we're not just hearers of the word, but we doers of the word. That we actually apply the word of God in our own life. And so often when we're going through trials in life, we're tested and we stretch to a point we almost think we cannot go on. There we got to make sure we don't begin just to compromise a bit, but we simply just do what the word would say. Because in the long run, we will be blessed for doing what God calls us to do. Jesus himself made it very clear about the importance of being both a hearer and doer of the word. God has given us the word to give us stability and wisdom to make right choices, even in the tough times of life. He said in Mark chapter 7 and verse 24 to 27, he said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came," that's the trials and storms of life, "and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." If we build our life on the wisdom and the word of God, no storm in life will cause us to stumble in life. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came and the winds blew about the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." How important is we just simply read the word, build up our faith by meditating on the promises of God, and just be hearers and doers of the word. And no matter what we may go through in these challenging times we're living in, we'll be firm and strong in the Lord. Just two more quick keys to help you to overcome and finish the race strongly. The devil loves to offend people and take people out of fellowship with other Christians. Being connected in fellowship with other believers is a key to remaining strong in a world that so often rejects Christian values. How important is that we connect with other believers who will encourage us to fulfill all that God has purposed and destined for our life. We see in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 to 25, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." See, Jesus will never ever leave nor forsake us. He is faithful. He's an awesome God. We've got to make sure that we continue walking with him, even when we are rejected for the word's sake. And it says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. See, every believer's got an awesome destiny and plan for life, and we need people to encourage us. When we're feeling a little bit weary in life, we need people who will say, you can do it in Christ. Hallelujah. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. I just feel to read this key scripture. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus warned that in the last days, and I see it all around me, that many would be offended, many would betray one another, and then many would hate people, go walk out of fellowship, false prophets would rise up because of a spirit of offense creeping in. We need one another. When you look at a log fire, when an ember is spat out, it quickly goes cold and dies out. Together, it burns brightly. In these last days, we need one another. And the good thing is, no matter what age you are, when you're planted in the house of the Lord, connected with people that God has connected you with, you will bear fruit even in old age. I love that promise. Psalm 92 and verse 13 and 14 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Fellowship, being planted in a local church, is crucial. Because our God-given destiny will always be worked out in relation to being connected with others in the body of Christ. And then just finally, the importance of being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. As we give out and minister to others, we need ourselves to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul wrote, and do not be drunk with wine, and which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We need to be continually filled with all the fullness of God, especially in a world where there are so many deceiving spirits around us. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul wrote, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Being continually filled with the Holy Spirit is a key also to being effective in ministering and preaching to others. Being led by the Holy Spirit is a key to making right choices in life. Jesus himself said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. How important is that we so close to the Lord in these days we're living in now, and allow the Holy Spirit to give us guidance and direction in life. In the book of Jude, we read, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. God has an awesome destiny for every single person. It begins the moment they come to Christ. But the moment we begin following God's plan for our life, we will still be always encountering opposition as the enemy will try and rob us from fully realizing all that God has planned and destined for our life. So in conclusion, four keys to remaining strong in our walk with the Lord are having a firm, unshakable trust in the Lord and a lifestyle of prayer. Secondly, building our lives on the promises and wisdom contained in God's word. That we're full of faith, built up with the promises of God, that our heart is full of faith, that as we pray, we already believe for the answers and miracles in our life. Thirdly, being connected in fellowship with other believers, that we have others in our life who will encourage us as we walk with the Lord. And finally, being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll finish with the words of the Apostle Paul. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God loves you and has an awesome destiny for your life.